than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcast, and Spotify. Here we are. Welcome to 2021. The Ravens are officially in the playoffs, and we are ready. The wild card weekend is upon us, and it's going to be the Ravens against the Titans. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, man. Happy New Year, man. Happy Festivus. We made it. Man, I'm doing good. How are you? Welcome to 2021.
2021. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm happy that it is the postseason. The Ravens controlled their own destiny, and they decided, yeah, let's go to the playoffs. So let's real quick just run over this Bengals game, because literally that's what the Ravens did. They ran over the Bengals, and that was a great way to punch their ticket to the postseason. Last show, I was a little worried that the Bengals, they were on a win streak, that they were going to kind of make life a little bit too hard for us, but the Ravens came out. It was a decisive win. I don't think it was ever in any doubt once that game started what was going to happen at the end.
Absolutely, man. I mean, a lot of people were always worried about this game, especially after 3 years ago, right? The trap game. Look out, because the Bengals did it before. You know, New Year's Eve 2017, they did it. You know, Tyler Boyd caught a touchdown. The Ravens were up three right at the last minute. It was fourth down. Ravens had to stop them, and they were in the playoffs, a win-in scenario against an inferior team. And especially after the last few weeks, right, of the NFL, we've talked about it. The Jets last week, obviously we just completed week 17 and the season complete. You know, the Jets just beat the Browns. The Bengals just beat the Steelers. The Jets beat the Rams, and we're on a two-game winning streak. So, I mean, you know, things have happened where these inferior teams, no matter what the records are, their professionals are lining up and playing hard. I mean, as you've seen from the previous weeks, the inferior teams have been giving these teams a run for the money. A lot of fans were kind of like, oh, is this going to be a track game? No, I knew confidently. I mean, I picked, 30-10, 38-3. I didn't expect the way they were going to do it in fashion. I mean, like you said, when they said they ran them out of town, ran all over them, I mean, that's an understatement. The Ravens put on a special performance on Sunday, unlike we haven't seen in a long time. Incredible, dude. Just incredible.
Yeah, it seems like the Ravens are clicking. Everything is kind of working out. We saw Mark Ingram for the first time back in this game. So really, you had so many options to run the ball, and that was great to see. I mean, Mark Ingram's had a down year, but still, it was good to see him back on the field.
Absolutely, it really was, and especially getting into the mix late in the game. As we know, this is the J.K. Dobbins show, followed by Gus Edwards. I mean, we understand that, you know, Mark Ingram hurt healthy. You know, he hasn't been really in the running plans this year. Had his year in the spotlight, a year ago for the team, and he was the featured back. Obviously, we didn't draft Dobbins this year. Understandably, it was him and Gus. Now J.K. Dobbins emerging. And it's rightfully so, with Ingram being hurt still, and then with J.K. Dobbins, you know, pretty much filling in, it just happens to be in the NFL. You know, J.K. Dobbins is the future. He's performing. Ravens went the hot hand and said, you know, and they probably had that conversation with Mark and said, you know what, we're going to hand the reins to Dobbins and Gus and the gang, and you're going to fill in where needed and kind of deal. And I think these guys understand. I'm sure Mark's disappointed, but then you look at these role players like a Dez Bryant that came in late in the season. A guy of his caliber, that he commands the ball. Not that he's the number one receiver at this point in his career, but it's like you would feel like, well, I want 10 targets a game and I want 100 yards and let's go. I mean, he didn't get involved on Sunday, which is great. He didn't need to. And he's out there. You know, everybody's like, well, did you see Dez? Yeah, I saw Dez on the field for a little bit more. And I thought he was getting more involved because of Snead's absence. Well, we didn't really need to throw the ball, and the guys who caught the ball and were involved, they produced more than enough effort. So, you know, Des was out there run blocking for a Dobbins touchdown, if I recall. So, I mean, these receivers, and they're selfless. They're asked to do different things on this team because they understand the main goal, to team effort to win the game, and not to go, this isn't fantasy football, this isn't personal accolades, gimme, gimme, gimme. And I think when we have those type of players, it doesn't work well for the nucleus of the team. So kudos to everybody involved, even Mark getting in, had a couple of solid runs for us towards the tail end of the game when the game was out of hand. And again, with Amar basically playing three quarters, sitting for the whole fourth quarter, you know, it didn't worry me too much because obviously they're playing in next week. It would be different if they were in like kind of like the Chiefs position, right? Like, you know, obviously Mahomes didn't play in week 17. They have a bye, so Mahomes ain't going to play for another 3 weeks. So that's like the Ravens blueprint 2019.
Yeah, that didn't
sitting work. For a quarter doesn't make sense. I mean, it you got to sit him. It was the right thing to sit him. It's not going to matter as far as rust versus rest at this point because, dude, he still played on Sunday. They play the following Sunday at 1 o'clock. The schedule is kind of still like clockwork. They don't play at a weird time. Obviously, the playoffs can change going into the divisional round and so on. But for the time being, front to back, I mean, they did what they do best in the last four or five games apart from the Cleveland game, right? They dominated the inferior teams where they just leave no doubt. Obviously, I feel like the Giants game being the closest one pretty much, but still that was not even a close game in its own right. I mean, the Ravens were cool to go with minutes left in the game and had to fumble it. So, I mean, still, it was a 27-13 win last week. This week, they just left no doubt. 35-point win against your divisional opponent, 4-2 in the division, got their fifth straight win. They got to 11. The winning in scenario was pretty much locked up by third quarter, man. We knew we were, as Billick said in 2000, the fine for the P word is off. We're in the playoffs. So we knew at that point, just get down to the fourth quarter, make it trip zeros and let's get on with it. So they dominated, man. I mean, just if you really, obviously we understand the running game was the focus of this whole winning ensemble on last Sunday, right? But the Ravens did something very special. And if Lamar was in for the fourth quarter, they probably would have had the record. The Ravens rushed for 404 yards as a team. They had 350 yards after three quarters, right? When right about Lamar was pulled. And when they eclipsed the 400 mark, they were the seventh team. They became the seventh team to do that as a team. And the NFL record was actually the New York Giants of all teams against the Baltimore Colts, who ran for 423 yards. And I think if my memory serves correctly on the record. So the Ravens were a handful of yards away. Justice Hill, Mark Ingram, actually from the 350 mark on, provided that rushing attack, but still 404 yards. I don't care who it's against. I've already heard the naysayers once after it happened, right? Well, it was the Bengals. Well, if it was so against an inferior team, then why are the Ravens? And I tweeted, right? You probably saw it. I said verbatim, I was like, well, if it was so easy, why are they only the seventh team since, I don't know, the Titanic sank to do it? I mean, it's if 400 rushing yards against inferior teams were the norm, everybody would have ran 400 yards in the Bengals all 16 games. It's a special accomplishment. I don't care if it was against the Chiefs, the Patriots in their prime, or the Bengals on week 17 when they pretty much had the third string quarterback in. I don't care who it was. It's impressive to say the least. And it shows what I've talked about all along leading up to this winning streak. Their identities run first. And I can't really much say anything about it. This rushing attack is second to none. When we talk about our opponent leading into Sunday, obviously we know we play Titans. Right, Derrick Henry, kudos to him. 2,000-yard rusher. He got 200 yards himself on Sunday. I think he needed like over 200-something yards to get to 2,000. He got it himself, which is crazy. Kudos to him. It's an awesome feat. But what's remarkable is going into week 17, 16th game, the Ravens were an averaging, and this is before the 404 yards, the Ravens averaged the NFL league leading 177 yards per game. Whoa. And the Titans were 160 yards. So obviously the Ravens had more rushing yards on Sunday, solidified themselves as the number one rushing team in the NFL. Bro, what a way to put an exclamation point on a march towards these playoffs. They got the help they needed. Obviously, the three-game winning streak in November didn't help the cause. But, bro, I mean, right now I feel like this team's not even peaked yet. And that's why I feel like leading into these playoffs, they're better than last year's team. And someone could be – and our argument could be made for either or, but they're peaking, and it's phenomenal.
So let's look at this season as a whole. They played 16 mm-hmm. games. They had a COVID scare. I mean, how many people caught right. COVID? I would think it was like 22 people. Lamar had to sit for two games. Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams, two powerhouses on the defense went down. Looking at this season as a whole, what were your thoughts, you know, at the end of it now? Let's talk about the last 16 games and what you thought of the Ravens. Like you said, you think they haven't even peaked yet. You know, there were win streaks, there were losing streaks. There were times where we questioned some players and their ability or their heart. Looking at 16 games, what's your final thought on this regular season?
The final thought, first and foremost, I tip my hat to all the players, coaches, staff. Not only that, but 256 NFL games were played, 17 weeks, bye weeks. We know games were moved due to COVID impacts, as you mentioned, Lamar. The Browns currently have it with their roster. The Titans had it, our opponent, this weekend. But no games were canceled. They were moved around. Some schedule conflicts happened. But all in all, kudos to everybody. My first thought about the whole season, that, taken away from the Ravens, is thank you to all for putting on a 17-week full schedule. I didn't think it could be done, especially with the, like we talked about, what the other sports leagues did, condensed this and that, bubbles for the playoffs. The NFL did it. You know, they had their trials. We've had some positive testing. We've had players sit out. We have coaches sit out. But obviously, you know, due to the health and safety of the players and coaches and staff, you know, everybody survived the virus. So that's first and foremost awesome. And just again, it's a round of applause to everybody involved to make that work. Looking at the Ravens' body of work, if we want to focus on the team through this year, what's remarkable is we understand you always hear that down year. Lamar had a down year. Obviously he wasn't MVP, wasn't even voted in the Pro Bowl, but he didn't really have a down year. You know, Sarah Ellison covers the Ravens a little bit. She tweeted about it. You know, in a down year, she said in a down year, Lamar did this, and that, and the Ravens did this. Yeah. When compared to 2019, it was a down year, but Lamar still finished top five in QBR rankings. I mean, he led the team to a five-game winning streak, returning from COVID, playing at an MVP caliber type, you know, especially after what he did coming in on a fourth down play against the Browns, you know, sweeping them. You know, obviously the Steelers game, we've learned some mistakes. And I feel like the Ravens have learned, apart from a few miscues in the Steelers game, they got one, maybe two games there. They learned from their the Patriots mishap and pouring down driving rain on Sunday Night Football. That was an inferior team. It's one of the losses that I wanted went back. Again, you give and take. I thought they would beat New England, but then they would lose to the Browns on Monday Night Football. You trade wins and losses there, just looking at a schedule, predicting it. You know, the Ravens overcame adversity. You know, they were 6-2, they were 5-2, went into Indianapolis, beat them, which proved big. Head-to-head matchup, playoff team. It came down to that deciding factor for seeding and getting in. Ravens were 6-2. Riding high, and then they crashed earth. Three straight losses right when the height of with the Titans are thrown in there, the Ravens' opponent. And not only that, but with the COVID impacts and all that, they rode a three-game losing streak, 6-5. Me and you and the rest of Ravens Nation did not think that this team would make the playoffs, let alone win a couple more games of push to it. You looked at the schedule, okay, they're 6-5. Maybe it'll win three more and finish 9-7. You know, it maybe split the difference with a few games there, but all in all, 6-5, Lamar comes back. The team just gels. They find their running game and rest is history. And I just think through the adversity of this team is accomplished. I think a playoff is well deserving through all that they've gone through, and to return to playoffs for three straight years under Lamar. Obviously Lamar taking over 2018 for Joe Flacco. You can call it 2.5 seasons, 3 seasons, what may you, 2018 through 2020, the Ravens are still in the playoffs in the AFC mix. And I'm proud of the team. I'm proud of everybody. Just following the journey through these 16 games, it's been up and down. It's been a crazy 2020 year, but the Ravens in December, they play their best football, if not the best football under Lamar. I think Lamar's only got one loss, if my memory serves correctly, in December. It was against the Chiefs. So Lamar remains pretty much unblemished other than that one spot in December. So the Ravens played their best football when it matters leading into January. I'm excited. What do you think, man? What are your thoughts as you reflect on, you know, this year for the team as 2020 is concerned?
Well, I mean, this like you said, it is amazing for what the NFL was able to do during a pandemic, and were able to pull off the entire season. They played a game on every single day of the week. You brought that up after the Thanksgiving game, and I think it was Christmas, right? Minnesota and New Orleans had a game on a Friday, and that was the every single day of the week had a game this year. That's really amazing. The Ravens, though, I mean, starting off this year, it was going to kind of be like, are they going to pick up right where they left off in the last regular season and just be absolutely dominant? When we looked at that schedule release back in, what was it, April? We were looking at that schedule and going, yeah, this is going to be a pretty good one. I think that we're going to be able to come away with, you know, maybe one or two losses, and that might be it. But then, you know, the real world kind of hit the Ravens really hard. Hit hardest than any other sports team in the world. And COVID, you know, had four different strains in the building. They had to battle back from that. And I think that's what the Ravens really thrive on, is that underdog story. We've always said that, you know, the Ravens, they work best when people aren't looking at them, when they get to fly under the radar and they get to be the underdogs, and people say, we're not supposed to be here. When everybody picked them to win the Super Bowl or said that they were the best team in the world, you know, that's a lot of pressure. And Lamar Jackson's a young guy, 23 years old, and he's got the entire world on his shoulders watching him. It's a lot of pressure. And I think this team was still trying to figure out who they were at the beginning of the year. They got that big COVID scare. Everyone got sick, and I think it brought the team together. And it really made them figure out, you know, who the who the stars were almost. And it also made people think like, yeah, this game could be taken away at any time. So I think after the big COVID scare, they had a game against the Cowboys. They looked good. But then it was that Monday night game against the Cleveland Browns. And we got to see the aftermath of COVID on Lamar and him cramping up because of COVID. He was able to come back and win the game. And he was having fun again. Like you said, these last couple games have been against subpar teams. But that almost was kind of good for them, because it was allowing them to enjoy the game again, and it wasn't all this pressure. Yeah, they were must-win games. I mean, they've been playing playoff football for a month now, but they were against teams where they really could show off and they could do what they wanted to do. So I think this was a season about finding themselves and realizing that there is a journey to the Super Bowl. It's not just that one game. You know, you got to play all these games and you got to have trials and tribulations on the way, and as long as you're learning from them, I think that's what's important. And I definitely think that Lamar and the rest of this team has done that. This has been an up and down year for the team, for all of us as fans, for all of us as humans. I mean, we're all battling something right now, but the Ravens were able to come out with 11 wins. They were able to find themselves. And like you said, I think that they have not peaked yet. I think this is going to be a lot of fun to watch this postseason. Everybody's 0-0 right now. And the Ravens, I think they're ready for it. And the regular season, I think this is something that they all know who they are right now. And we're seeing them play their best and learn from this past year. And they're playing their best football right now, which is exactly what you want to see right now heading into the postseason.
They are. And for everybody out there, we get it, right? The bad taste of January 2020. Ravens got upset by the six-seeded Titans. We get it. They weren't ready. We get on the 22nd of November. We get it, right? Ravens had 11-point lead, let the Titans off the hook. Derrick Henry runs for the game winner. And over time, Ravens lose again to these Titans. And like you just mentioned, you know, momentum. Ravens are obviously one of the hottest teams in the NFL, winning five straight, you know, to solidify that spot. 11-5 record. It seems like to me, looking across the scope of the league, AFC and NFC in its regard, there's a lot of teams that are limping into the playoffs. First and foremost, the Ravens' opponent on Sunday, Tennessee Titans. I mean, if you take the names of the teams out of it and you look on paper, okay, team won five straight, had the game of the year, probably not the game of the decade, right, as it stands right now, early on, the Ravens-Browns game, and then they, the inferior opponents, the Ravens usually make that mistake and play down to the opponents. They didn't. They pretty much blew them all out, covered the spread, left no doubt en route to four more wins to add to that. The Tennessee Titans, on the other hand, Sunday Night Football against the Packers. Packers are number one seed in the NFC. Blew out the Tennessee Titans. Derrick Henry did not have 100 rushing yards in that game. And at one point, Tannehill had more rushing yards than Derrick Henry. Then they, on Sunday, Ravens handled business 38-3 against another 4-win team in the Bengals, right? Another 4-win team, the Houston Texans against the Titans, were down 24-9. Titans lost the lead, and they were losing late in the game. So it was a great, crazy play. Tannehill to A.J. Brown and then set up the doink-doink field goal to win it at the buzzer. So they barely had to come back. So for a team that just got blew up by one of the premier teams in the league and in the NFC, top dog, and to lose a 24-9 lead to scrap back and win, that doesn't show a vote of confidence for me if I was a Titans fan or if I covered the team, because I'm like, they got there, they won their division, but I mean, yeah, I get it, right? They won a division home playoff game. Ravens didn't win a division, but they're a seed higher than us because of the division. They have the same record. Ravens are 11-5, Titans are 11-5. So it wasn't like they were world beaters either. They lost five games just like the Ravens lost five games. Titans are one of the five losses. Looking at the tail of the tapes, two different teams. The Ravens are a far better team than November. And I don't think, and it shows. As I tweeted right for the show, and I'm going to read it verbatim, Brandon, looking at our opponent, I'm going to read you some facts. Titans were not a top rushing team. Ravens were. Titans were not in the top five of the NFL power rankings. Ravens finished fifth. Titans got blown out by a playoff team, like I just covered, and lost a 24-9 lead and barely won the game, just like, as I covered, to an inferior team. Most of the media is picking against them, and they aren't favored. So for as far as the momentum, you touched the win all day. It's Baltimore, bro. It's they're running like a playoff team should. I feel like winning teams play defense and they run the football. Ravens are doing great. Yes, they were not without Yannick Ngakoue and Jimmy Smith, should get those players back. What was even more remarkable is going into a game against the Bengals, no punter, right? No Sam Cook. Had to hire a backup punter. The punter only punted once, and it was what, with 2 minutes left in the game, I feel like? That was remarkable. So the Ravens, I'm telling you, they're riding high. When this line came right out and they were favored in this game, I was like, oh boy. And it just shows you. A lot of people are saying, well, I'm scared of Derrick Henry. I don't know. I mean, you can make of it what you will. It's mad respect to the guy. 2,000 yards rushing is hard to do. Again, just like 400 yards is hard to do. We both boast in regard to our running games. But looking at it, bro, of everything that was mentioned, right, limping into the playoffs, the history with these last two games against the same opponent. How are you feeling on this one? Are you beating your chest as confident as anybody? Or are you sitting back in your chair and going, okay, they got us the last two times. I don't know. I mean, what are you feeling, bro? What are you feeling on this matchup?
Now, I know that they, of course, are looking at this as just another game, but you got to look at this as a revenge game. I know I know that in sports, this is a job for these guys and they want to get to the Super Bowl. And this is just another, you know, another step in that direction. But come on, this is the team that took out the Ravens last January. This is the team that came into Baltimore and stood on our logo. This is the team that pushed the coach at the beginning of the game. This is the team that our coach was so fed up with how disrespectful that the Titans were that he wouldn't shake the hand of the Titans coach at the end of the game. This, there's so much to play for the Ravens right now. I mean, the Titans did what they did at the beginning of the last game, and you and I were complaining after that game because the Ravens did not answer to any of the things that they did before the game. That those players put their hands on Harbaugh. They touched our coach, and we had no answer for them. We allowed that to happen in our house. So now that the Ravens are going to Tennessee, I don't want them to go step on the Tennessee logo. I don't want them to be disrespectful in any way. We're better than that. But there's got to be just that personal motivation, if not just for the title and for the team or whatever. There's got to be that personal motivation of these are the guys that took us out before. They disrespected us at our house. We need to beat them. And I think the Ravens can do that. And like you said, a lot of people are scared of Derrick Henry and what he was able to do in that last game. That last game did not feature Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell. I mean, two Mack trucks that weren't on the field the last time. Both those guys are healthy right now. Both of them are going to be on the field. This defense, I think, like you said, you're going to get a couple players back. You're going to get those guys playing again. I think that this is going to be a different game than we saw in Baltimore just a few weeks ago. I really hope it is. I want them to be able to answer back. We did not see them. We allowed the Titans, the Ravens allowed the Titans to just run all over them and get out of Baltimore with a win. I think that they have way too much to play for. I mean, this is like the third act of a movie. Like, this is the season finale of Friday Night Lights if, you know, we followed Smash Williams, you know, up to the NFL or something. Like, this would be one of the last episodes. I don't want it to be the last episode because that would mean they lost, but we don't want that. You know, this is leading up to the finale. But this is you couldn't write this. This is a perfect movie right now. These guys they disrespected the Ravens. They don't take them seriously. They played really well against us. You know, they played great defense against Lamar. Don't get me wrong. This is not going to be a cakewalk in any way. But the Ravens have to know that these guys have proven that they can hang with us. But I think the Ravens can get it done. It's going to be a hard game, hard-fought game. But there's so much for the Ravens to play for right now. I mean, it's crazy that we've gotten this far, and there they are again. The team that took us out last year, they're still standing in our way, and I'm so excited. I can't wait. I got my purple lights outside already. The Christmas stuff is down. Purple lights are up on my house, so I'm ready to go. I can't wait to see this. On
Sunday. You went from one Festivus to the other.
I did. I mean, there was no in between. So. This game, there's so much motivation here. There's so much to play for. I'm ecstatic. I can't wait. I
know you're fired up usually, but I've never seen you this fired up before. And we've covered a lot of – we've covered a Super Bowl win in our first year. We've covered playoff games, playoff wins. And you're fired up this year, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But this is
after the ride. It is. And we talked about it. Especially after the ups and downs of this year. And after 6-5 losing to the Steelers, no Lamar, I looked at my buddies. I was like, no playoffs this year for us. And obviously I'm glad I ate my words because it looked grim. It looked very grim. And
absolutely.
I'm going to ask you, we're going to really dive into the game, right? It's obviously, this is it. There's no season. It's playoff now. It's one and done. We have one opponent to talk about. There's no schedule to break down. There's no, if they don't get past the Titans, we can run the next couple months and run the game. No, you know, we got one opponent to talk about. So let's dive in. I'm going to ask you point blank. What are your thoughts on the keys to the game on what they got to do? What's the game plan to exact that revenge on the Titans? I'm going to give I found some things. I did some digging this week. We're going to dive right in, but I want to ask you to kick this off in breaking down this matchup. One for the ages, right? Sunday at 1:00. What are the keys to the success they got in exact that revenge?
Well, last January, they were able to shut Lamar down. They had no time in the pocket whatsoever. When he tried to run, they knew when he was running and they were able to shut it down. The run game has to be more than just Lamar. We need J.K. Dobbins. We need Gus Edwards. We need them to be a factor here. You know, the Ravens need to be able to keep Tennessee on their toes and not be able to predict what they were calling. I mean, Lamar said at the beginning of the year, I believe, like they knew what we were calling before we even got out on the field. I don't want to see that. So we need fresh plays. We need everyone to be involved. We need that 3-4-headed monster on the ground. And we need to give Lamar the targets to throw to. You know, Mark Andrews, Hollywood Brown, they need to be on their A game. Absolutely 100%. Because when that run doesn't work, we need to be able to pass the ball. Dez Bryant, you know, I want to see him get involved as well. And then the two guys I mentioned on defense, they're going to be, I think, the giant, huge X factors on the defense. Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams, they need to have A-plus games. We need to see them do the absolute best to shut this their running game down. You know, our secondary is a little beat up. I think that might be our biggest weakness, but I want to see them force the Titans to throw the ball. That run game, I don't want to see it exist on Sunday.
No, absolutely, man. It's great keys to the game. And I'm hoping that all comes to fruition, but there's a lot to do with the game planning that I really want to break it down, because you're right. You know, if they hit most of those things, it's probably a good winning formula, you would say. But like you said, alluded to the playoff game, they forced Lamar to throw, got out of their element. They got down early, obviously the interception. Titans go down to cash in. Ravens are behind. We already knew their MO was the Ravens could not come from behind. Let me add on real quick.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I do want to add on. I'm hoping Lamar also learned from that game in the past January, and I think he did. He worked really hard on throwing in the off season, and we saw that more at the beginning of this year, that he kind of struggled a little bit. But 16 games later, I'm hoping Lamar's passing game and what he learned from last January is also going to be a factor as well. So, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I mean, you're right. It's all about learning. You can't move forward and progress in growth until you don't learn from your past mistakes. You learn from the failures. And that's why I'm happy that there are failures in life, because now I'm not going to get all, you know, Ray Lewis preachy here, but that's just honestly, I'm in the process of looking up some additional stats to really dive in deeper of the Ravens and really show you where they've come from in coming a long way here. Let me see here. I'm looking for the 2020 season to go back statistically, and there's a couple of reasons why. But before I get to there, you know, not only that, but we talked about their identity of running the football, right? We know the Titans are pretty much a run first team. We can probably say both teams are run. They're built identically. They're run first. They got a passing attack that can be formidable. But what it comes down to it is the Ravens. Right. The Titans did what they did on defense schematically to kind of thwart the Ravens' plans in the playoff game. If we go back a year ago, didn't work out in the Ravens' favor too well. I feel like going into the matchup in November, for just looking at this team, this matchup, I feel like they righted a lot of wrongs in that game. Obviously, it was a different script. The Ravens were up 21-10. They had an 11-point lead at home after what all you said. The Ravens lacked that fire. Like that passion. They were disrespecting their house. The Ravens, you would think the Ravens would just come out swinging, like, all right, let's just knock them. They had the lead and pretty much played not to lose the game, and that's pretty much what happened. I mean, looking over the keys of the game you covered, they got to cover more than one, most of them. But looking at the scope of the game as a whole, you know, what do you say, like just asking you all for that, what is the number one thing the Ravens have to take away from Titans? Like, obviously we know what the Ravens need to work on and look at their mistakes, and Lamar came through this, and the offense coordinator's got to look for this, and the guy's got to do this on defense. But, you know, the Titans took away what we need to take away. What do we need to do against the Titans to probably thwart their plans and kind of reverse the script? Obviously top of the list is what? Stopping Derrick Henry, right?
Yeah. I was going to say that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just for given, you know, they got a 2000 yard rusher. And just like us, we just came off a 40-yard performance, stopping each rushing attack. But what it comes down to it is, I feel like it's going to be the first team to make a mistake is going to lose. Who's going to have that first fumble? Who's going to have that first interception? Costly. What I feel like the X factor is, Lamar in the red zone, 47 touchdowns and zero interceptions, no turnovers. I don't know what the fumbles are. I have to look those up, but I know he's fumbled a few times in the red zone, especially in goal line. I don't know what the numbers are there. I have to go dive in, but Lamar and the Ravens are deadly when it comes in the 20-yard line and in when they have the football. That's what they have to cash in. They can't trade that 7-3 game. They can't go down and stall, kick the stupid field goal just to take the points and think they're going to probably win the game. Those 4 points are very costly. When it comes down to it, and especially when a one-score game, how many times this year have we done that? Well, if they didn't do this, they took points off the board for that, we would have won. Again, like Steelers games. don't throw two pick sixes in the game, we win, because the Ravens lost by 4 and 5 points respectively to the arch rival Steelers. That's two of the five losses. But, you know, the Ravens really have to get back to what they do best, run the football. Here's what I want to break down. I took the liberty of looking over the stats of the last two games, playoff game in 2020 or 2019 season, and the regular season game this past year, 2020. There are some glaring differences in the play, in the schemes, all that. Again, the Ravens were only down 7-0 early in the playoff game. We get it. They were down 28-6. So a lot of it built during the game. They got down to the hole, couldn't recover, and a lot of these stats were probably because of that large hole that they created. But I'm going to show you some differences. What do you think? Because we knew Lamar had to throw the ball. You know what was crazy about looking at the playoff game to the last game?
What's that?
Lamar threw it for an unprecedented 30 less times. Brandon, Lamar threw it for 59 times in the playoff loss to Tennessee. 59.
Jeez.
59. 59. Exactly. 59 times. Had two picks. In the loss in November, 30 less times. He only threw it for 29 times. Recipe for success here, and you're seeing Madrid following the script, run the football. What have they been doing the past 5 weeks? It ain't been throwing the ball. It's been running the football to set up that pass. Ravens really need to get back what they do best, keep Lamar to a minimum throwing it. I mean, but you're like, what, Josh? He's a quarterback. He's got to throw. We want to see him throw 30 times. That's not their identity, and we're talking in 2020 here. I don't care what he does 3 or 4 years from now. If he develops and we don't, and the Ravens develop from a run-first offense to a pass-first offense, and he throws it for 350 and three touchdowns every game and throws it for 35, 40 times, that's all fine. But look what – but not only that, but look at their mirror team, our old team, the Cleveland Browns. Look what they did to lose to the Jets. They did the same thing. There's a pattern here. These run-first teams in the playoffs, Ravens, Titans, Browns, covering these teams. I touched on it last week. Why did the Browns lose to the Jets? And we talked about it because Baker Mayfield with down four receivers threw it 50 something times and then it run the football with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Ravens threw it 59 times with Lamar in a playoff game. But not only that, but there's something underlying here that we don't see in the stat sheet. Mark Ingram was hurt in that game. Remember, he got hurt in week 16 in Cleveland in 2020 or 2019 season. The reason why the Ravens are so successful now, and I think it's going to be the X factor in this game, is Lamar's not going to throw it 59 times, but I don't care if he run it 59 times. They're going to run all over the Titans. Titans aren't that good in the run defensive department. Their defense is kind of terrible. I mean, they gave up 35 points to Texans on Sunday. A 30 attempt pass difference in each of those games in less than a calendar year is pretty glaring. Not only the fact, but on the score sheet, the Ravens lost the first bout 28-12 in the playoffs. And the Ravens outgained them insurmountably in the playoff game. It wasn't even close in the total yards department. The Ravens amassed 500 total yards in the playoff game and lost the game. Titans only had 300. And it just, if you look at the ratio of that, pass less, execute the run game more. And off of that, if you notice something in the past Bengals game, what does Lamar do? The Bengals and the Browns game both. Lamar's efficient on the run, roll him out. He rolled out for the Andrews passes. You had to roll out for the Marquise Brown. What was the eventual, could have been game winner. Obviously, game winning drive led to some passes there to Andrews and Snead. But on Sunday, the Boykin touchdown, remember? I don't know how he does it. He fakes the handoff, play action. He turns all the way around, resets, and throws a nice laser in there to Boykin for the touchdown over the double coverage. The run sets up that play action and that misdirection in RPO because – and you saw it on Sunday, right? The cameraman looked like Dobbins had the ball, and then all of a sudden Lamar's running up the sideline with it. When they create – that's the success of the offense. With people saying, well, Lamar was figured out in a playoff game, yeah, the Titans probably knew what they were running and all that, but the Ravens didn't do themselves any favors by not changing things up. They didn't change the offense tweak. Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to cause them to be confused. The Ravens offense runs on confusion. Who's got the ball? Is Lamar going to take off and run with it? Is Dobbins going to take off and run with it? Because when Lamar does that little fake handoff and step, you don't know if he's going to do one of three things. Hand it off to Dobbins or Gus Edwards or maybe Mark Ingram or Justice Hill. Is Lamar going to take it back and keep it himself? Is he going to take it back, keep it, and fake it and throw it? Is he going to fake the handoff and sit back there and throw it? Or is you don't know what's going to happen. This isn't no knock to his predecessor or any quarterback who's a pocket passer. This isn't just Joe Flacco dropping back, handing it off, because Joe Flacco didn't have that talent Lamar's got of the whole that. And Brian Baldinger, NFL analyst, breaks it down beautifully. If you follow him on Twitter, it's amazing video. He breaks that down. The misdirection the Ravens have caused over the last few weeks, it's havoc, man. I would hate to go against that. And for those people who say Lamar's been figured out, I don't think so. What Roman's doing is creating a new wrinkle and a new identity on this offense, saying we're going to cause confusion. It's kind of like the organized chaos, right? Remember the vaunted Ravens defenses of Rex Ryan, the exotic blitzes, and you don't know who's coming from where. And that was the MO of the Ravens staple of all these years as their defense. Now it's actually flipped to the offensive side in this microcosm of the last month or so of football, with the Ravens marching to the 2020 playoff scene, is we don't know what's going to happen. You know, like I said, Lamar can fake the handoff, roll out, and then you don't know if Lamar's going to take off. And what's smart, and I talked to one of my buddies this, Lamar's being smart with his runs. Instead of just calling plays just to have Lamar run, like they were doing early in his career, there's a lot of those pass plays first. There was coverages on Sunday that the Bengals had. They were beautifully. And what does Lamar do? He looks at his options. He sees there's no option, has no choice but to either throw it away or run the football. And most of his runs were for first downs. So Lamar's being smart. The offense is being very efficient. So I'm just excited to see this run game and this offense take form. And this is why I think the Tennessee Titans had their handful on Sunday afternoon. I think the Ravens have progressed. They learned. You already seen it. They threw it 30 times less in the second game. They were up 11, but then it could be a defensive effort. Maybe the Ravens didn't score enough points. Maybe the defense obviously was on the field and let them down. Who knows? But the defense looked gassed in the second one. The Titans were on the field and sustained drives a lot more efficient than the Ravens did. And that's the other key to the game. Not only who runs the ball better and who stops it, but who's going to be efficient with the football, running and passing it. Don't turn the ball over. I've heard it from, I echo some of the media members who've broken down this game and hearing their analytical viewpoint on the game. It's not going to be who makes a big play. It's going to be who doesn't make the first mistake. Because remember, Lamar made the first mistake in the playoff game. Did him dirty, man. 7-0 right down the field the other way. My memory doesn't serve me correctly. I feel like it was a blur. But I can't remember in that November game how that went as far as turnovers and all that. But the Ravens were up quickly, got out on the Titans early and didn't hold the lead. So you're right. I feel like this is that third time. The third time's the trick. You know, we always hear those cliches, you know, third time's the charm. This is it. And I think they're growing gradually from the first game of ending the 2019 season and their 14-2 bid. They had the revenge in November, didn't get it done, but they had them on the ropes, didn't get it done. Now I feel like this is it. This is their championship moment against the Titans in the AFC wildcard round. And I think they go down there. And if you look at the history, again, history is only good as the last games, but Brandon, fifth time in the history, Ravens Titans have met in the playoffs. Each road team has won each time. So the Ravens have had success down in Tennessee in the playoffs. Remember 2008, rookie Joe Flacco, rookie head coach John Harbaugh, rookie running back Ray Rice, went down there as a wild card team and beat the Tennessee Titans, who were then in the number one seed, and Ravens were six. So it's happened before. Ravens had spoiled it, and it was kind of like a return of favor, right? The Ravens did it to them in 2008. Titans did it to us in 2019 as kind of that 1-6 seed revenge. Now we're going to see who's who. And this one, there's a lot of great matchups, right? Brown Steelers line up to end the wild card weekend. Division rivalry, they get third time's a charm too as well. You have some divisional games lined up in there. But, dude, everybody's been talking about this one. And I'm telling you, this one's going to be a sweet, sweet revenge factor. And you heard it, right? You know the players. Players speak. Coach speak. You know, Mark Andrews was asked about, is there bad blood? The players are going to answer it the best they can. But we know deep down in the locker room, like me and you were talking about, they want to pound these guys. They want to smash them. They want to prove the point. I don't know about you. I get it, right? Winning by a point, winning by a lot. As long as they win in advance of the division round, we're all going to be excited, right? I don't bet you. I don't want that 1 or 2 or 3 point victory. I want to smash these guys. I don't know. I'm not playing, but I'm just fired up as you. Like, I'm just like, I want to go in there and embarrass them. I want to go in there. And again, I'm probably going to sit here on the show and spout a perfect world scenario. I don't care. I can live in a fantasy world. I don't get paid any money to predict it, whether I'm right or wrong. I hope they stop Derrick Henry's craziness tracks. Ravens run all up and down the field. They dominate time possession. They put pressure on Tannehill all day, create havoc, and they win the game 27-10. I want them to do what they kind of did in 2000. Go down there and just leave no doubt. Ravens went 24-10 there. It was 17-10 Titans driving. We know Ray Lewis, pick six, end of the game in the middle of the fourth quarter. Two Titans, Eddie George, Ray Lewis. I mean, apart from a non-divisional game, with the Ravens-Patriots rivalry back in, and it's still probably prevalent today still because we still hate to play them. It's still Belichick up there. We still lost to him this year. But when the Ravens always played Patriots and Tom Brady under center, it was always a rivalry, right? It was that non-division rivalry. Titans right there, bro. I mean, going back in their history of the old AFC Central, I think that's what the Ravens were in before the divisions were aligned. 2000, it was nothing but Ravens-Titans. Remember the whole rivalry, you have it won in the Adelphi Coliseum, as it was called back in the day. Al Decker could have kicker, Steve McNair, 2003 playoffs wild card, the Ravens had a home game, lost that. 2008, we go to Tennessee and we won that. They came to here in 2019, we lost that. So it's been back and forth, and the all-time meeting, the Titans are actually up 13-12, so the Ravens can actually even the score at 13-all. So, dude, I'm telling you what, they're the new team that we love to hate outside of division. I'm telling you, this is and again, you're talking about hate's a strong word. Hate's a part of the rivalry. It's respect factor. We love to hate them, hate to love them, but at the end of the day, respect them. We tip our hats off to Derrick Henry, 2,000 yards rushing. He's up there with one of the greats, and Jamal Lewis did it. Remember, 2,066 yards. You know, Derrick Henry's a beast, but he can be contained. The Packers, I tell you what, if the Ravens haven't done so in their professional team, they probably did it. Look at the way the Packers dominated the Titans 2 weeks ago in the snow. Don't care, snow, rain, sunshine. The blueprint's right there, bro. You got to put pressure on Tannehill. Derrick Henry pretty much stopped dead in his tracks, pretty much didn't really dominate the game. But we know what Derrick Henry's good at, right? Not only rushing the football, he gets better as the game wears on. And just like the game in November, the Ravens had the lead, lost the lead, and it was a very close game. Obviously, overtime was forced. It was even through four quarters, and Derrick Henry got the knockout blow. Derrick Henry gets better as the game goes on. That's why I said I want to smash him. I want the game so fiery that we don't have to worry about Derrick Henry revving up in the fourth quarter. I want it done where they're all sitting on the bench with pouty faces. That's how bad I want it. That's how bad I want this for the Ravens players, coaches, the fans, the city of Baltimore. I'm fired up just as you were or are, you know what I'm saying? We're all still fired up until Sunday. I mean, the Ravens playoffs were it. We're one of the teams that gets to play in the postseason. How about you? But I'm excited about that. Anybody should be excited. And again, you know, I've been trolling a lot of people. All those are scared. You're entitled to your opinion. You know, you can be scared of this matchup. You can be concerned. Not saying you're wrong, but when we put it out there, all the facts are out there. The media doesn't respect the Titans. They don't feel like they're all evidence and science point to this team and its facts. The Titans are an inferior team. I don't care what history says. And I've talked about it before, Brandon. I'm going to ask you point blank, and I probably know your answer. Remember the Flacco-ing game, 2012, Broncos, December? Who can forget it, right? They got it flat out embarrassed. When the Ravens drew the Broncos in the division around the playoffs in 2012, Maha Miracle or not, heading into that game, I know the whole map, and the whole map was like, does anybody give the Ravens a chance? And Louisville, Maryland was a different color, and the rest of the nation was for the Broncos. We get it. It was an insurmountable mountain, and they overcame that, and they had to get to Brady, which we know they won Super Bowl 47. But very simply, after the Flacco-ing game, after the Broncos blew them out a month ago, you had to go in that matchup feeling like, there's no chance the Ravens have, right? I mean, what were you feeling? Do you remember? Were you saying those kind of things, or were you kind of thinking like, yeah, the Ravens can beat them? I think the majority, even Ravens fans, were probably like, I don't know. I mean, they just lost them embarrassing year, a month ago.
That year was so different because it was Ray Lewis's last ride. in 2012. That motivation, the second that he announced his retirement, I was like, all right, well, they're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, there's
like Mike's special stuff on Space Jam. It was that underlying factor. But I mean, yeah, no, and that's right. You're probably going to be bust my chops. Why are you comparing those things? I'm just comparing like history, the history seat, because a lot of fans are like, well, they did beat us the last two times. I bring up 2012 comparison, last ride aside, because that was the special injection juice. I mean, it worked. Ray knew what he was doing. But I just use as compared. You just can't compare past because, like you said, the Ravens are riding high and the Titans are limping into playoffs since they last beat us in November. It's not the same two teams lining up. My good buddy Paul, we're talking about, you know, because obviously I tweeted a picture of most of the NFL Network pundits picked the Ravens except one. So it's a dominant board. Again, media picking the Ravens. They don't think the Titans are going to win the game, apparently, the picks. Good buddy Paul. We were going back and forth about being the favorites and all that. And, you know, underdog versus favorites has been a discussion this week. And that's another thing I want to ask you back on the tail end of closing out the show. Paul asked, and I'm going to reply both on both methods, both digitally and on the show. His tweet was verbatim. Let's say we beat the Titans. Because my reply, he said he hated being the favorites. And this is how the conversation started. So I said, all right, I hear you. Then we need to play the Bills or the Chiefs if you don't want to be favored because of the best two teams right now. Titans are an inferior team. That's point blank. They are. We talked about all the evidence. They are. Ravens are favored. They're not ranked in the power. We get it. They're not. They're just an inferior team. And the media agrees. They're not picking the Titans, or most of them aren't. Paul's reply to me was, let's say we beat the Titans and the Colts miraculously beat the Bills, which goes against my picks, as we just discussed. Do you want Cleveland to win so the Ravens play divisional round in Baltimore or Pittsburgh because it's a better matchup? What do you think on that before I replied to the answer? I'm going to pose it to you first. What do you think? Because, you know, you asked me, like, who do we play? Who do you want to play? You want Pittsburgh, point blank.
I want Pittsburgh. Bring them. Absolutely.
You want that third bout, third time to charm again, two games in a row.
Hey, the Steelers barely beat the Ravens this year both times.
With third-string backups in this third. Because exactly. Remember, RG3 went out and had to be McSorley.
Bring me that rivalry. We love facing Pittsburgh. Bring it on to Pittsburgh.
And it's intriguing he asked that because not only is it either or divisional opponent for the third time, but it would be a chance to either right the wrongs against Pittsburgh, have a third shot at them where they swept us this year, just like the Titans pretty much swept them in 2020, quote unquote, in two different seasons, the same calendar year. Or do you get a crack at sweeping the Browns three games in a row? So third time's a charm. My reply to him, it's probably going to be different digitally because by the time I log off, I'm probably going to have a different response. So I do apologize for that. I mean, hey, I got to get back and really, you know, listen to it. But I'm with you. But mine has a little bit more context and just because it's an easier matchup and I want them. I would rather play Pittsburgh because it is the better matchup, but I'm going to take it on a more personal level. I want to play Pittsburgh just because of the fact that the fan situation, I don't want to have a home playoff game for the sheer fact that, number one, I probably won't get to go to it. Two, if I try to, it would be hell of expensive. So I'm not going to want a home playoff game against the Browns. Again, you know, I know everybody's going to be like, oh no, Josh, come on, man. But I get it. But again, the answer to the question is the better matchup. Steelers aren't all that in a bag of chips. Everybody was like, how did this team win 12 games? I mean, dude, they were 11-0, lost three straight. And they were on the verge of losing four straight. They were down 24-7 and had them miraculously to come back. So, again, another team is limping in the playoffs. The Ravens, I mean, other than possibly the Bills, yeah, you can say in the case the Chiefs are a hot team, Josh. But with all their starters in, they barely won against the four-win team Falcons in Week 16 to get home field. They barely won. The Ravens, against all the inferior teams in December, have trounced them. So looking at quality of wins and strength of the schedule, Ravens have the bill, man. Other than the Buffalo Bills, it's Buffalo Bills 1, Baltimore Ravens 2. I don't care what the seeding says. That's the top two teams in AFC playoffs as we stack rank them. So answer your question, Paul, my good friend, Pittsburgh. Because it's a better matchup, hands down. I don't want to see the Browns again because I think – and it would be kind of crazy if it happened and I'm sitting here saying, well, I don't know, but because I might be saying a different story depending on how these games fall out, but I just think the Browns would have too much firepower for the Ravens to probably overcome them and beat three straight. I mean, again, you know, it was a great game on Monday night. We beat them in week one, but week one was eons ago. We trounced them. Pittsburgh just, I don't think they have the talent to hang with us. And you're right. If it wasn't for four turnovers in game one in October, we had them big time. And we do look back at the stat line. We dominated everything. I mean, everything except the scoreboard and a turnover battle. So, yeah, to me, hands down, Pittsburgh, better matchup. That's my answer.
All right, so looking forward to this wild card game, I think you and I both agree that we think the Ravens are going to come away with a win. That's what we're both hopeful for. That's what we want to see. Do you want to do score predictions now?
Absolutely, man, absolutely. I'm going to predict – I'm going to keep it with my smash 'em. I'm actually going to revert back to what I said, 27-10 Ravens.
You know what? Actually, that's the score I had in my mind as well, 27-10. So I'm
there
right there
go.
With you.
There you go. Watch it happen. That would be crazy. We were on the same page.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I just had this – I'm just telling you. I just had this feeling the Ravens are just going to run. They're going to have the ability to just run. I don't think – again, I think both teams are going to run. I'm not saying Derrick Henry's not going to run all over the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday, but Brandon, I mean, look at it. 3-1. Ravens have three runners, including Lamar. You can add a Mark Ingram there as a fourth. Hey, even throw Justice Hill in there as a fifth. I mean, the Ravens are carrying running backs on the squad, including their own quarterback. We know Tannehill can run. He's not Lamar, but the key to the game would be to watch for that play action rollout because Tannehill can move the chains doing that. And that's another thing I want to watch out for Sunday. But if you just talk about Lamar Dobbins and the Gus Dobbins and Lamar show running the ball, three is better than one any day. And if you have three to worry about versus one guy to stop, I'll take our running game all day, especially a 400-yard performance. Yeah, 2,000 is great throughout the season. Tip my hat to him. But the Ravens still, no matter what, 2,000-yard rusher or not, the Ravens ended with the campaign of NFL 2020 season with the number one rushing attack average in the NFL. So you can call for what you will, King Henry or not. And then something I dug up too was even eye-popping, right? Not only that, but how about the stats with Dobbins and Derrick Henry? Top four running backs in yards per carry. Dobbins was number one this year in the NFL with 6 yards on the dot. 6 yards per carry. It's awesome, and it sets up some good plays for the Ravens, especially on first down. If they can run it 6, 7, 8 yards like that, you know, averaging six, great. Nick Chubb was second at 5.6. Aaron Jones, 5.5. Derrick Henry, 5.4. And there was a side note. Lamar leads all runners with 6.3 yards per carry, but obviously not the attempts nearly. But Lamar, and tip my hat, Lamar, second year in a row, 1,000-yard rusher, first time the quarterback's done that. Awesome. It's remarkable. So I feel like the Ravens have more to offer as far as weaponry on the offense side of the ball. We get it. A.J. Brown's a beast. Tannehill's efficient. Derrick Henry's a beast. They got beasts. They're a team of beasts, but we got our own. You know, Lamar's playing great. We got Mark Andrews, Willie Snead, Dez Bryant, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, the line's been formed, and Brandon. I want to bring up something that's probably never been said rarely in the last few weeks. The Ravens have been doing this rushing game. They had a 400-yard performance on Sunday. They're without one of the best pass-blocking tight ends in Nick Boyle and without Ronnie Stanley. That is impressive.
That's right.
So if not to say, okay, well, we had those guys early in the year and they weren't really successful running the ball, it's hard to say. I'm not saying we don't miss those guys. We want them back. We want them back quickly. I wish they didn't get hurt and you're still in the squad, enjoying the ride, playing football with the Ravens. But for the Ravens to be doing that with missing those pieces, that's even extra, extra special. And I just want to make a special note of that obviously have been made full recovery back in football 2021 for the purple and black. But dude, the Ravens are doing something remarkable with running the football. And if it continues, this reminds me of back in the day when it was give Jamal the ball. When the Ravens are that, and again, they're not that downhill punch in the mouth runners like a Jamal Lewis was. I mean, they're running the football. They're still punching the mouth, but it's a different run. It's finesse. It's quick. It's flashy. But they're running the football with their hair on fire, and they continue to do that. The great teams run the football and play defense. And with the Ravens doing both of those things well, Lamar being efficient, not turning the ball over, I'm telling you, if they play the same game, no matter who lines up if they play the same exact game as they did the last 4 or 5 weeks here, or the last 5 weeks, they've had a 5-game win streak, they're going to be unstoppable. I don't even care if they do line up with the Chiefs. I don't care if they end up lining with the Bills. I like our chances with anybody. Obviously, matchup to matchup remains to be seen who stays healthy, who does what. But Titans, let's run all over them on Sunday. Let's leave no doubt. They stomped on our logo, disrespected our coach, but we're going to go to their house and disrespect our playoff chances and end it. How's that?
I'm happy with that. That's what I want to see. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this preview of Wild Card Weekend?
Wild Card Weekend, Festivus Maximus, quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
At ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, well, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm,
Overcast,
Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. And did you know Vero's back? Vero apparently came back yesterday, so talk about us on there, too. So let everybody know that I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should, too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, this one's important, buddy. It's a big game. It's up against the Titans. Get us ready. Take us out the way you always do.
Hey, Brandon, thank you so very much, man. It's been a quite a year, man. Another season in the books for The Call, but we're going to keep the party going with a playoff game on Sunday. We made it. We're one of the teams. But everybody gets even more joyous, Brandon. They get to hear us for at least one more week, which is awesome, right?
I mean, that's everybody. Everybody's
yeah,
it's
everybody.
Right?
More call the merrier. But we're happy to still be sticking around, covering this great matchup. Tennessee Titans, Baltimore Ravens, round three. If you want to go back to the 2019 playoffs, it ended bitterly here in Baltimore. Then they came here to Baltimore a second time. Didn't work out again. Let him off the hook, as Dennis Green, the late Dennis Green, said in his press conferences. We let him off the hook. We knew what they were. And no, I don't think they're getting out of this one. I think the Ravens are going to be all business. I'm going to read a quote from Lamar Jackson, the offensive leader here. Dude, I feel like this team's locked in. Lamar, quote, "This is our team, all of us together. This is our team. I don't go out there and block. I don't go out there and catch the ball. I don't make tackles. I just do my part. It's all of our team." It means it takes all of us. That's one of the mantras of the Ravens. Play the Raven. It takes all of us. All of us all in. Lamar's doing his part. He's just going out there doing his part. But everybody plays their part. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, everybody on the line. Fluker, Orlando Brown Jr., McCarry, everybody doing their part. Bozeman, Ben Powers, you know, doing their thing on the line, getting down here, blocking and grinding. The tight ends, Mark Andrews blocking and catching, Dez Bryant blocking and catching, receivers, everybody call him out, Snead blocking and catching, Hollywood, catch the ball, bro, catch the ball, Boykin emerging. Everybody's going to be doing their part in offensive performance, and everybody on defense is stepping up, playing hard for Wink Martindale, and this is going to be a collaborative effort for the Ravens. It's going to take everybody all in to take it to the Tennessee Titans in their house in Nashville come Sunday. We want to be marching to a divisional bout to whoever it may be. And can Lamar get his first playoff victory? And we're so hungry for it. Third time's a charm, my friend. Let's do it. Good things always come in threes. Baltimore Ravens, Tennessee Titans, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.